The title of the message this morning is Walking and Proving. Walking and Proving. We've been studying this theme of learning how to kneel, to sit, to stand. And then this year, I'm preaching about learning how to walk. I want to preach on this topic, walking and proving. Walking and proving. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to actually read an entire passage of Scripture here to help you understand what's happened here in this chapter. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." It's amazing how God brings deliverance from them, brings them out of the bondage and slavery that the nation of Israel was in there in Egypt. And yet so soon they're murmuring and complaining against God and to Moses about what God has done or hasn't done. How sad it is. But notice verse 3. It says, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." They get to complaining now and thinking, saying to Moses, maybe we should have stayed in Egypt. If you're just going to bring us out to the wilderness and we're just going to die here with nothing to eat, we're going to starve and hunger, what good is that? We should have just stayed there in Egypt. We should have just stayed there as the servants to the Egyptians. We would have maybe had a better... That's always foolish talk. That's foolish thinking when a person thinks I can go back into the world and think that I had it better than I did in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For a person to think, oh, I had it better before I got saved than I did before God saved me. To think, oh, I had it better just living in the world and doing whatever I want to do than to live a life that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. That's so foolish. What God can give you and will give you is so much better. Notice verse 4. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even shall ye eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even, or in the evening, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Listen, they had nothing to complain about. God was going to provide quail for them every night, give them some bread, some manna every morning. He provided water out of the rock for them in the wilderness. He was planning to sustain every one of their needs. They had no need to murmur and complain. It says there in verse number 16, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man It's an amount according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. Notice, it was real important to God that they obey his commandments. But some didn't hearken, some didn't obey, some didn't listen. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning. They didn't eat in that day the manna, the bread that God gave them. We'll preserve it for the next day because maybe it's going to be all we have. Maybe this is just a one-time deal and we'll preserve it and make it last a little bit longer. That wasn't what God wanted. Maybe we'll leave it till the morning, but the Bible says it bred worms and stank. God provided them some fresh manna that morning, but wanted it to be what would sustain their family for that day. And if they tried to save it for the next day, he'd make it crawl with worms and stink and rot. But if they would just eat what God gave them in that day, God would give them some fresh bread and fresh manna for the next day. As at the end there, Moses was wroth with them. He was upset with them. They didn't hearken. They didn't obey God. It says, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I would ask you please to help us to open up our hearts, to open up our mind to you. And we ask your Spirit to control us today. Help us to yield to you. Please speak to our hearts. Please convict us, Lord, of your word and just some thoughts that practically we can apply to our life, that we would be what you want us to be. Help us, Lord, in walking and improving our love and obedience to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Walking and proving. A key verse here in this chapter was back there in verse number 4. Back in verse number 4 it said, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, a certain amount. He was going to even tell them what they, you know, just take enough for them and their family. God said, I'll provide. I'll send the bread from heaven. I'll send the manna from heaven every morning. And they're to go out and gather it every morning. He says, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. God said, I'm going to give to them and I'm going to provide for them every day what they need. But you know, it's even going to be a little bit of a test. If they're willing to obey and do what I'm asking them to do, they will prove themselves to me. They will prove their obedience to walk in my law, to walk in my ways, to do what I'm telling them and asking them to do. How we walk, how we live, it is always, for every one of us, it is proving our hearts to God. There's no doubt about that. How we walk and how we live is proving our hearts to God. How we live is proving to God whether or not we really love Him. Are we willing to obey His commandments? Are we willing to walk in His law or no? As that said, that verse said. Are we willing to walk in His law or no? Are we willing to do what God expects or no? Are you willing to do what the Lord wants you to do or no? You're proving your love. You're proving your love to God by your obedience to, will you walk in His ways? Will you walk in His law? Will you keep His commandments? Will you do what the Lord wants you to do? Jesus said this in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Jesus also made the statement, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, if we love God, we should be proving that love by walking in His law, keeping His commandments, doing the things that the Lord God has asked us and commanded us to do. He said to Moses, listen, I'll provide. I've heard all the murmuring. I've heard all the complaining of my people. And I'm going to listen to that and I'm going to provide for them exactly what they need.
I'm going to give them enough to sustain them every day and provide for them, to feed them, to take care of them. But I'm going to prove them. I'm going to use it to prove if they will obey me or not. I'm going to make it very specific that what I give them every morning, they're to gather a certain amount and they're to gather it every day. Not gather more, not gather less. But to gather what I tell them for each day. And if they do that, then the next day I'll give them some more. And if they do that the next day, then I'll give them some more the next day. And if they do that the next day, I'll give them some more the next day. But if they don't, listen, I can make it so that their bread rots and stinks and grows worms in it. I think it makes sense to obey God. You know, we know from His Word, we obey Him, it brings what? Blessing. We don't obey Him, it brings cursing. In this case, rotten bread, worms growing in your bread. He's not going to make it so desirable. We need to prove our love. How we walk is proving our love to Him. Are we willing to obey His commandments? Will you walk in His law or no? Will you do what He wants or no? They were going to be given and they were to eat in that day the bread that God gave them. Can I ask you this and apply it to, you know, the Bible compares itself to being bread. This for us is bread. For the believer, the Word of God is bread for us to eat. It sustains us. It strengthens us. It helps us to grow in our faith. It nourishes us. The Word of God is bread to us. Can I ask you something, Christian? Will we eat the bread, the Word of God that He gives us? You hear the Word of God preached. You always bristle at it and say, I don't like what the Bible says. I don't like what God tells me to do. I don't think I want to follow that. Then you're not eating the bread. Do you read something in the Bible and you say, I just don't think I like what it says there. I think I'll just skip over that. The next chapter is pretty good. But I don't like what it says there. I don't like what it says about how I ought to live a holy and consecrated life. I don't like what it says about how I ought to come out of the world and be different. I don't like what it says about telling me that I shouldn't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I don't like what it says about alcohol. Or I don't like what it says about how we should keep our body. We might not like what it says about a lot of things. But you know what you're supposed to do? Eat the bread. Obey His law. Obey His commandments. Obey His Word. Do what He asks us to do. Will we eat? Will we obey the bread or the Word of God that He gives us? That was going to be the test for them. That was going to prove, do they love God or not? Will they walk in My ways? Will they walk in My commandments? Will they walk in My laws or no? Or no? You know, you're making choices every day that's proving whether you love God or not. Your actions every day, your life every day is proving, do you love God or not? We are walking and proving. How you walk, how you live is proving whether you love God or not. Will we eat and obey the bread, the Word of God that He gives us? There's that test of obedience. Will you obey His laws? Will you obey His commandments? Will you walk in His law or no? So there's a test of obedience. Obedience or disobedience, it's proving whether we love God or not. Second thing I want you to see is this. Look down to verse number 11. Verse number 11 again. The first, maybe that test of, you know, proving our love is a test of obedience. Will we eat the bread? Will we walk in the law? Will we obey His Word or not? Will we do what God wants us to do or not? That test of obedience is it proves your love to God or not. Verse 11. The Bible says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even or at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host.
When the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not, or they knew not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. In other words, the bread wasn't supposed to be left until the next morning, like we said. Verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it, what? Every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Can I ask you another question? You know, in relation to how we walk and how we live and proving our love to God. Are we willing to even get up each morning and gather the manna? That was the responsibility. There was a responsibility that came. God said, I'm going to provide that manna. I'm going to provide that bread. Every morning it's going to be there. Fresh bread for my people to eat. But the command was to get up every morning and gather that bread. Gather that manna. Are we willing to get up just a little bit earlier every morning before we go off to work? Before we go into all the busy things in the day, before you take your kids to school, before you go here, before you go there, before you do, and all the busyness of the day just overwhelms you, are you willing to get up a little bit earlier and get some bread? Will you get up a little bit earlier to spend time in the Word of God? Will you get up a little bit earlier to get into that manna? To get into that fresh bread. It can be fresh bread for you every morning. It can be bread that nourishes you and strengthens you every morning as you read the Word of God and read in the New Testament and read about Christ. You read about what other Christians face. You read about their faith. You read through the Psalms and you get some encouragement and strength for your heart to have the courage to do that day what a Christian ought to do. Are we even willing to get up each morning to gather the bread? To gather the manna. It's important, isn't it? You know it's important. I know it's important. But can I ask you, are you doing it? Will you do it? Will you begin to do it? Will you get up each morning? Will you gather the manna? Will you get into the Word of God? Get into the bread and receive what God has for you? Will you spend that time in the Word of God? Over in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. It says, but his delight is in the what? In the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Listen, are you willing to get up every morning and spend time in the Word of God? Get the bread. Get the food, get the nourishment, get the strength for your Christian life that God wants to give you from His Word. That's so important. Every man, everyone was to do that every morning. Do you know that as we read and understand the story, they couldn't just gather for one day and okay, that's good for the rest of the week. They couldn't just say, well, I'm going to get on Sunday morning. I'm going to get on Monday morning. I read my Bible on Monday morning, so I'm good. I'm okay for the rest of the week. Oh, come on, none of us are strong enough as Christians to say, well, I got it one time, that's good enough to help me. We face so many temptations and sinful things in the world and so many pressures from the world and there are so many things and the humanism and the philosophies of the world that are fighting for our love and for our mind and so on and for our thinking. We need fresh bread every morning. And every day, Christians, spend time in the Word of God. Every morning determine, I will get up a little bit earlier. I will have a place where I'll get into the bread. I'll cut myself some slices and I'll eat some bread that morning. I'll get the strength that I need that morning to help me that day. Hey, and the bread you get on Monday is not good for Tuesday. You need some fresh bread on Tuesday. And you need some fresh bread on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday. They had to gather it every morning. Every morning. You know, just to think, well, I go to church once a week. I go to church on Sunday morning. And, you know, Pastor, maybe, do you know, I read 21 verses there on Sunday morning. That can carry me through all week long. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. Don't think it's all, well, just I got some bread at church, or I got a little of the Word of God at church, or I got a little bit this day. No, we need the Word of God every day, every morning, personally, for you, for your family. Will you get up each morning and will you spend time in the bread, and spend time in the Word of God? Cut yourself some bread and eat that bread and get what you need from God. Are you spending time in the Word of God? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you spending time in the word of truth? Are you spending time in the word of God? Study to show thyself approved. Approved. We're talking about walking and proving. You are proving your love for God. Part of what proves your love is, will I get up in the morning and spend time in the Bible? Do we understand what this book is? The divine word of God. How else are we going to get to know God? Probably for none of you, He appeared to you in some, you know, great vision in the night, and you know, you saw Him on the wall and He wrote with His finger on the wall. And no, God has given us His Word, His full and complete Word of God right here. Yes. This is how you'll get to know God. This is how you'll get to know the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It's the bread that God wants us to have. Will you spend time in it? Will you spend time in the Word of God? As you do that, as you study it, as you read it, as you meditate on it every day, you're proving. You're proving your love for God. You're proving your heart. How important is the Word of God to us? Is it important enough that we believe, yes, this is God's book, He inspired it, He wrote it, and He wants to speak to me through His Word? Do you believe that? If we don't expect to get much from God, we probably won't get much, right? But if you have an expectancy that, you know what, I can get up on Monday morning, I can get up on Tuesday morning, and I can read the Bible, and God can use His Word, His living Word, His powerful Word, to speak to my heart, and to encourage me, and strengthen me, and to help me in the day, and give me guidance, that'll make us a whole lot more desirous to get up and get into bread. I don't know what you eat for breakfast. I don't know if you have a slice of toast, but let me tell you something. This is the bread that you need. This is the greatest bread, the Word of God that you need every morning. Is to spend time in the Bible. Spend time in the Word of God. I'm proud of my children, and they read the Bible every morning. We read the Bible as a family every night. And some of them have begun to go through the schedule of trying to read through the Bible, and they do that every morning and read through the Bible. Listen, if some kids can do it, you need to do it. Moms and dads need to do it. Adults need to do it. We need to spend time in the bread. Spend time in the Word of God. Walking and proving. Walking and proving. Can I ask you, will you eat the bread? Will you obey the bread? Will you walk in His law or no? You're proving your love. Do you love it enough to get up in the morning and spend time in it? You prove your love that way. Get up and spend time in the Word of God. Eat the bread that God has for you. Spend time in His Word. Notice again there verse number 16. Verse number 16, Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 16 says, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. According to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Every person ought to read the Word of God. But in this story that we're using to illustrate the true bread and the Word of God, there was a great responsibility there for the men. The head of every household, they were to get up and gather the manna, not just for themselves, but for everyone that was in their tents. Their family, maybe if they had some servants,
They had a responsibility not just to gather bread for themselves, but to gather bread for their entire family. Listen, if you're a man, God wants you to realize you have a great responsibility and opportunity to lead your family spiritually. God wants you, another reason why you need to love the Word of God and get up and get the bread and spend time in the Word of God is because you've got a family that you're leading. You've got a family that you're setting an example to. You may have children that look up to you. You may have others that look up to you. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and some look up to you. It doesn't matter who you are, honestly. We've all got some people looking at us. But especially, can I say, if you're a parent, if you're a mom or dad, you're a father, you need the bread. You need the Word of God. Just as the man had the responsibility to gather the manna for his family, you need to get in the Word of God for the sake of your family, for the sake of your children, for the sake of those that are coming after you and coming behind you. They gathered enough manna for their family. How are you guiding and leading your family? Are you providing for them the manna, the Word of God that they need? They were responsible to gather, to provide, help provide for their children, provide for their wife, provide for their family. Look over with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Are you guiding them to walk in and obey God's Word? You're walking and proving your love for God by how you love the bread, how you love the Word of God. You're proving your love by will you get up and gather it for yourself? Will you read the Word of God? Will you spend time in it? That's proving your love. But can I say you also need to gather enough and be strong enough and be spiritual enough and be godly enough and love the Word of God so that you've got something to give to your children, to your family? Are you guiding them to walk in and obey God's Word? Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 1 says this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Listen, you need to love the Word of God, and love it with all your heart, because you need to follow the Lord. And you need to get in the Word of God because, yes, you need the bread from God. And you need to be growing and you need to be fed spiritually. But you also need it because you've got to guide some coming after you. You've got to help some coming after you. You've got to help your children. You've got to help those coming behind you. He goes on in verse 6 and says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes." Just over in Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18, it says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." They're going to be what guides you. They're going to be what guides you in the path and helps you to walk in the right way. He says in verse 19, "And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware or promised unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command thee, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves." Are you providing for your children the manna? Are you providing for your children the Word of God? Do your children ever hear you speak to them about anything godly? Do they ever hear you speak to them about anything to do with the Word of God? Could you ever, when you know they're facing a problem in life, do you ever share with them maybe a biblical principle that could help them to know what to do? Do you ever just stop and pray with them when they're having a problem and a trouble and you realize you need to pray with them because they need to know that God can help them in their problems? Are you guiding them to walk in and obey God's Word? Are you helping them to learn to love the bread, to love the Word of God? Are you sharing it with them? Your kids need to see you cleaving unto the Lord. They need to see you loving the Lord with all your heart. Are you proving your love? You are walking and proving by how you live, how you walk. Are you yourself eating and obeying God's Word? Are you walking in His laws or no? Are you walking in His laws or no? Will we eat and obey the bread, the Word of God that He gives us? Are we willing to get up each morning and gather the manna, the bread that He gives us? Hey, when you get up and when you make it a priority that I'm going to take time for God every day, I'm going to take time for the Word of God every day, I'm going to get into the bread every day. Oh, you're showing God how much you love Him. Oh, yes, it helps you, and yes, it's for your own benefit, but God knows, oh, they love me. Look how they took time for me today. Look how they spent time in my Word today. It's going to help you and strengthen you and give you guidance and help you so much. But it's showing God, too, how much you love Him, that you'll take time for it. Are you gathering enough bread and manna? Are you helping yourself to be strong spiritually so that you can help your children also? Or help those that come behind you? Or help those that look up to you? I want you to see something else back here in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. These things are proving our love. How we walk, how we live. How much we love the Word of God. Whether we'll gather the bread, whether we'll obey the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 19. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, it speaks about a man named Abraham. It says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him." God says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. What a great statement made about Abraham. God says, I know him. I know how Abraham loves me. I know how Abraham loves my Word. I know how Abraham wants to walk in my ways. Abraham has been proving, and you know the story of Abraham's life. He in many ways proves his faith and his love for God. It's very evident. It's very real. But God says about him, I know him. I know him that he will also command his children. He'll lead his household. He'll lead his family to love God. He'll lead his family to live for the Lord. He'll lead his family to love my Word. In that same way, are we proving our love? Are we loving the Word of God and gathering it for our children and gathering it for our family and trying to guide them in the same way also? Turn back to Deuteronomy, if you would, chapter number 13. Deuteronomy chapter number 13. We are walking and proving. Walking and proving our love for God. Deuteronomy chapter number 13 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or of that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee."
Psalm chapter 44, if you would. Psalm chapter 44, and that's where we're going to close. Your faithfulness to your God is proving your heart to Him. No doubt about it. Your faithfulness to God, your faithfulness to your Lord is proving your heart. It's proving your love for Him. He does not want our hearts turned aside to other things. He does not want our heart turned aside to false gods. We read in that chapter how we need to put away the evil. Listen, for us as a believer, as a Christian, if you're going to follow the Lord now, put away the evil out of your life now that you're saved. Listen, there was things in your life before you got saved that no doubt they were sinful and they were worldly and they were wicked. He says, put those things away. Put the evil out of your life. Prove your love for God. Follow after Him. Walk in His ways. Walk in His commandments. Look at what it says there in Psalm 44 and verse number 18. Psalm 44 and verse 18, it says, our heart is not turned back. It warned in Deuteronomy how there would be some who would try to make their hearts turn back. There would be some who would try to make their hearts turn away from the Lord. Can I tell you, the devil wants every believer's heart to be turned away from the Lord. He doesn't want you to live for Christ. There are some in this world that would try to turn your hearts away from God and keep you from living for the Lord, or keep you from following in His Word, or keep you from walking in His way. He says, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from Thy way. And it says in verse number 20, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. Listen, God is wanting to prove your heart. God is wanting to prove your love. Don't let your heart be turned away from God. Don't let your heart be turned away from God. Don't let it be turned away by false religion. Don't let it be turned aside by worldly philosophy. Don't let it be fooled by humanistic philosophy or humanistic thinking. Don't let your heart be turned away by sin, by the sins of this world. Walk after God with all your heart. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. You are proving. You're proving your love. When we walk in His ways, or no. It's either God, we love Him, or we don't. When you walk in His commandments, or no, we're proving our love, or not. We don't want our steps to decline out of the way God wants us to go. We want to walk in His ways. Follow His law, follow His Word. That means you got to eat the bread. I don't like what it says. Well, you can take that up with God when you get to heaven. But until then, He's God. And we're His children. He's God. And we're His people. And we need to surrender and say, oh, I love that bread. That's good bread. That's good bread for me. I'm going to eat that bread. I'm going to obey what God's Word says. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to walk in His ways. We eat that bread. We eat that bread. Don't let it spoil. Don't let it rot. Eat it. Eat it. Eat the Word of God. Will you get up every morning and cut yourself some fresh bread? Will you get up and will you spend time in the Word of God? Could you do that? Could you get up a little bit earlier to say, it's going to be important, it's going to be priority in my life that I spend time in the Word of God before I go to work or before I go to school or before I go here or there. I'm going to spend time with God and I'm going to read His Word. I want to find out what God says to me. He'll teach you a lot of things, but not only that, the bread will nourish you. It'll strengthen you. It'll help you in your day to live for God. We need to eat it. We need to obey it. We need to get up in the morning for it. Every day. It was important every day, wasn't it? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day. Spend time in the Word of God. Hey, gather it for your family. Gather it for those behind you. Gather it for those who look up to you. Gather it for those who are watching you. Gather it for those who you're influencing.
They need you to be a spiritual dad or a spiritual mom or a godly example in their life. And there are others who need you to have some bread. They need you to know the Word of God. They need to see it in your life that you love God and you love His Word and you're cleaving unto Him. And they've got something good to follow. They've got someone that can help them when it comes to times where they're hungry. You know your children are going to have times where they're hungry? You may have some teenagers that are hungry and they need a godly spiritual mom and dad who've been eating the bread and you're full and you've gathered enough to share with them too. They may need some of your guidance. They may need some wisdom that you can share with them from the Word of God. They may need some help from you. You better have gathered enough bread for them too. We're proving. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask You please to convict us, Lord. Help us to love Your Word like we ought to love it. Father, help us to realize that this book for us as believers, it's bread. It is manna from heaven. It is what can nourish us and strengthen us and help us in our Christian life. It helps us to grow. It provides us strength. It teaches us Your ways. And Father, help us to love it. Help us to spend time in Your Word. Help us to meditate in it, study it, and show ourselves approved unto You. Father, may there be some Christians who are determined and who will decide and who will make it in their schedule in daily life, every day, to spend time in the Word of God. Help us to gather the bread. Get in the bread. Get in the Word of God. Help us to obey it. Help us to truly be willing to eat it, to do what it says, to walk in Your ways, to follow You. Help us to gather enough for others, gather enough for our family and for our children. Help us, Father, not to let our hearts be turned aside by anything, but to prove our love for You. Keep walking in Your ways. Love Your Word. Read it. Obey it. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest decision that you could ever make would be to trust Jesus. God loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary for us. We're all sinners. Not a one of us could stand up before another person and say, "I'm perfect. I've never done anything wrong." The Bible calls it sin. We break the laws and commands of God. We can sin by telling a lie, by committing murder, by having anger and jealousy and envy in our heart. Sin is so many things, but we've all sinned against one another and we've all sinned against heaven. We've sinned against God. And we need to acknowledge that we are sinful and we're needy. But the Word of God tells us really there's nothing we can do to appease God on our own. We cannot be saved by our own merit, by our own righteousness, by our own good works. We don't earn our way to heaven by anything that we do. We can only be saved by putting our faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. God knew that in His justice, in His holiness, sin would have to be punished. But God also made a way for us to be saved. He sent His Son to take the punishment for us. He died on the cross of Calvary. He dipped His soul into hell. He suffered for us. He died for us. He was died, was crucified, was buried, and rose again. But He paid the penalty for our sin. He would cry out on the cross, "It is finished." The plan, God's plan, was finished. He suffered there and died so that man could be brought back to God. The step that we must take is to believe, to receive. We have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ from our sin. We acknowledge and admit we are such lost and sinful people. Our sin makes us wretched, unclean in the sight of a holy God. And only through Christ can we be saved. If we've been trusting in religion or works or anything else to save us, or our baptism or our confirmation or keeping of the sacraments or keeping of anything else to try to save us, that those things, the Bible says, cannot save us. In fact, the Bible even calls those things as really being vain or even dead works, that works can't save us. Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And for you to be saved, to receive God's gift of salvation, to have eternal life and a home in heaven, you must come to Jesus Christ and trust Him alone as your Savior. Not trusting anything else to forgive you of sin, not trusting anything else to earn you favor with God, but to realize we have no hope except for God's Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe today you need to make that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.